Ever see an untucked button down? They look bad. Why? Well, because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at that perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts looks great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Like, I'm 6'5", so it's hard to find shirts that fit me well and then also kind of fall at that perfect length when I'm trying to go untucked. Now, with Untuck It, you can choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is so easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. Golden Edge Podcast is sponsored by SDN Sports from Station Casinos. SDN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus of up to $50. What is up, everyone? This is the Golden Edge Podcast, the podcast where the Las Vegas Review-Journal talks about hockey. Before we get started here, just a quick remember to subscribe, not like, because I've been told that you cannot like our podcast, but subscribe, please, on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever you do with your podcast. Make sure to check out all our great Golden Knights coverage at reviewjournal.com as well. I'm Ben Goetz, joined by my great colleagues, Dave Shane and Adam Hill, with a special guest, Golden Knights rookie defenseman Zach Whitecloud is with us in the UNLV locker room here today at City National Arena. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem. So we want to get into obviously a bunch of stuff since you've come up with the Knights and kind of established yourself a little bit. I mean, what have these past 12 games been like for you since you got called up for that game in Nashville?
Just honestly, just been taking it day by day. Not trying to get out of my lane as they would say. But I think the main thing is just focusing one day at a time and just kind of keep learning as things come along and game by game and practice by practice and just trying to make myself better for my teammates, for my coaches and just keep going.
So I asked you this, I remember on that road trip, you got called up in Nashville, then immediately the team went to Tampa and then Fort Lauderdale. Who did you trick into calling you up for the Nashville and Florida road trip?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Nice weather though.
That's great. When you come up though, and you talked about just staying in yourself, like playing your game, doing what you do. How hard is it to do that when you're like, I'm up here now. I want to show everybody what I can do. I want to like, you know, show everyone everything I can do in my skill set. But you know that the best thing to do is kind of stay within yourself. Kind of, how do you find that balance?
Well, I think with my skill set, the best games are the ones that, you know, guys like you who are up in the stands and who are at the games don't really recognize me. I think that's the biggest attribute to my game is that it's calm, it's simple. I play a two-way style. You know, I can contribute offensively and that's starting to come along a lot more as, you know, the games go by and, that comes with confidence and reps and things like that. But you just kind of keep going day by day and taking the things that you learn and taking the mistakes, you know, that are coming here and there and learn from them and just, you know, keep moving forward and again, taking it day by day. So
according to our math, it was 667 days between your NHL debut and then being called up. What was that wait like? You ever get impatient or you just kind of know that's part of the process?
No, trust the process. I mean, you know, the management group, you know, signed me for a reason and I truly believe that. And, you know, you just got to keep believing in yourself. And that's where the staff in Chicago has really helped, you know, a lot of us young guys is find our game and find, you know, what makes us good pros and especially how to be pros. Right. And you learn those things down there and you you don't get anxious. I mean, you just kind of keep doing your thing day by day and just know that you got to trust the process and that things will work out if you put in the effort, you put in the time, you put in the work, right? And obviously, if you don't do those things, the chances of you, moving forward are slim, right? And but you want to be doing the right things every day. You want to be playing well. Obviously, you want to be a good teammate. You want to be good in the community. And you just want to, better yourself every day so that when you come up here, you're ready to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, kind of speaking of trusting the process, you were obviously competing for a job in training camp this year and you got hurt. Was that kind of, a tough blow to go through knowing that you were maybe on the verge of making this team out of camp and having to deal with that adversity?
Sure. I mean, I had never been injured in my career. I had never been put out, for an extended period of time. And that it's unfortunate that my first injury kind of came in pro and obviously a chance that everyone knew that, there were a couple of guys battling for spots, right? And for one, certain spot, obviously, as everyone knew. And, to kind of, have that happen, it was a check to, who I was as a person, who I was as an athlete and a hockey player. And, I went back to Chicago. I got healthy. I got my mind right. I got my body right. And I came back a lot faster, more rested, stronger, working with our strength and conditioning staff down there with Jeff Conkle. He really took care of me. He made sure that, I stayed in above average game shape. The days were tough, obviously. I mean, you put in long days when the team's on the road, you're there, by yourself or with one of the other injured guys. And, but that's time to honestly make yourself better. Obviously everyone knew we had a short summer with the Wolves. We went to the finals, right? And your summer shortened. Obviously you take, a couple weeks or a month for some guys and then you have a month of training and then you're right back into camp, right? So, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, and I'll never say an injury is a good thing. Obviously the circumstances is tough and, it was unfortunate obviously. And, but I had to make the most of it, and I think I did. And, I was proud of the amount of maturity I showed. And that's not knocking my own boots or anything, but that's, I went through it. I got better from it. I learned that injuries are a part of the game, obviously, and obviously they hadn't happened before, right? So it was new for me. And there were a few mental battles, a few physical battles, but I came back stronger from it. And I just knew that my time was coming and that I had to be ready for when it did come. And you just have to take advantage of that. So.
Wanted to get into your background a little bit too. So when you made your debut, you were the first member of the Sioux Valley Dakota Nation to play in the NHL. And I know you grew really close to the Sioux Valley Dakota Nation Reserve just outside Brandon, Manitoba. I mean, this is a very large question, but how did, I guess, that background kind of shape you into the person you are today?
It's the way my parents raised me, right? And my mom isn't Aboriginal. My dad's full. So that's, where I get it from. And but we were always tight to the community, tight to home, as we call it. And it's about 20 minutes west of Brandon. And I had a lot of friends growing up. I played minor hockey with our reservation team there for about 3 years through, I think it was Adam, Pee Wee, and Novice. And after that, obviously, the skill level started to jump up as I kept developing. And I had to move away, from those friends and things like that and move on to higher hockey, obviously, but still kept in touch with them. And unfortunately, not a lot of them are playing hockey anymore. And that's obviously from circumstances and things like that. And, but to kind of keep going and keep going through the process, as we say it, and go through whether it's AAA hockey, Bantam hockey, and then juniors and then college. And now, the NHL, to represent my people is huge for me and huge for my people. And I know that. I know it's a responsibility. And it's one I don't take lightly. It's one I talk with my dad about a lot, when I come back in the summer, to make sure I'm involved in the community, make sure I'm, going to the schools, talking to the kids about how important education is, how important a healthy lifestyle is. And obviously drugs and alcohol is an issue for people in society in general, but my community back home is they have issues, with that. And that's not singling out one, culture, right? All people have issues and they vary, but some are more severe than others. And it starts with the youth. And if you can, give them a positive example to look at, those are going to be things that, hopefully they'll hang on to as they go throughout situations in their life where they can, where the fork in the road comes, whether it's the bad and the good, hopefully they'll take the good, right? And it's just trying to show them what good can be And, you know, I went through decisions in, as I was growing up where, you know, my friends would be going out, I would stay in because I had training the next day. And it's little things like that that helped me get to where I am, and the responsibility factor that, you know, my parents put on me too. If you do want to play hockey, this is what you have to do. You have to, I guess the old saying goes, in order to get something, you have to give something up. And, you know, you got to pick what you want to give up. And, you know, that's what I've been doing my whole life, is making sure that I give myself the best chance to play hockey for the rest of my life and do it for a very long time. And that's what I've wanted to do since I was a kid. So and you have that opportunity to do it. You don't want to waste it. You don't take advantage of it. And you make sure that, you know, you try to set the best example possible for a lot of those kids.
Taking on, I mean, that kind of a challenge and trying to, you know, be a role model and set examples like that and talk to the community, like, that's kind of a lot to take on, especially for a young player. Like, is that just something that comes naturally to you, that you get excited about?
Sure. I mean, everyone's a leader in some aspect, right? And some aspects are larger than others. I always look to Jordan Tutu, Michael Ferland, a lot of those guys. Obviously, Ethan Bear's another, you know, kid around my age who is heavily involved in his community, his culture. And, you know, he's obviously with the Oilers there. And, you know, him and I talk a little bit. And he does things in the summer, like youth camps for kids. You know, hopefully I can get into that as my career goes on and try to help those kids in the summer and things like that. And but those were the guys I trained with, you know, Fern in the summer. And he's heavily involved in the community as well. And having him and I around, you know, the Manitoba area, Brady Keeper's one as well. He's a newcomer to the pro game, and he's from northern Manitoba. So there's, you know, there's more of us that, you know, are coming along and setting good examples.
How much support do you feel, I guess, from the community? How much do you hear from kids and adults and things like that, you know, just about your journey and where you're at and maybe like you said, the influence that you maybe have on some of the kids?
It's every day. Honestly, and the biggest part of it is social media. I mean, that's how you see things. Obviously, that's the biggest form of communication in our society, right? And, you know, you see it through Facebook, you see it through Twitter. You know, people I went to university with, they're still contacting me, you know, saying, good job, way to represent BSU, and way to represent Sioux Valley, way to represent, you know, my Dakota culture back home. It's everyone reaches out, you know, somehow. And either that or, you know, a lot of people reach out to my dad. And I think my dad gets more people contacting him than I do myself. But no, he handles it well, too. I mean, you know, people are always texting him because they don't want to bother me. They're texting him, you know, yeah, how's he doing? You know, how's he playing and stuff like that? And he kind of relays the message saying he's doing well and stuff like that. And I check in with my dad. And but he's the biggest connection I have to the community is my father. And he was, you know, he was raised in a family of, I think it was 11 siblings, 9 siblings. So they were they grew up in a farm territory. So they needed free workers, I guess, right, growing up. So that was the biggest form of work for them. And but no, my family's heavily involved in the community and in our culture and things like that. And obviously I don't get home a whole lot in the summer, so it's tough for me to get home and take in those sorts of things. And but as much as I can, I try to, obviously the schedule's a lot busier in the summer and things like that. There's other things to tend to, but you make time for the things that are important to you. So.
Yeah, I wanted to quick touch on something you mentioned there with just your time at Bemidji State University in the great state of Minnesota.
It's an okay state.
It's a great state.
It's an okay state.
But that's obviously a school that has Ojibwe communities kind of surrounding it. Was that, I guess, intentional on your part to go somewhere like that, or just kind of a happy coincidence?
Honestly, happy coincidence. I had never heard of, you know, those reservations around Bemidji. It was all new to me. I went there, you know, for hockey in school, and then found out about the community surrounding it. And actually from the first year I got there, now there's Native Nations Night every year. And that was, I don't want to say because of me. I mean, it was because of me being a First Nations player, but like I didn't set it up. So I don't want to say because of me, but there are a lot of people that, you know, make that night possible, and they give free tickets to the communities around. And that's usually a night where we have about, you know, 6,000-7,000 people in the stands. And, you know, a lot of them are watching a First Nations hockey player, you know, for the first time. And, you know, that's big time for them. And I'm able to, you know, talk to people, talk to, you know, the fans after the games and stuff. And but BSU had a big impact on my life. I spent 2 great years there. I learned a lot. I matured. That's the spot where I turned into a man. I went from, a little junior hockey player that kind of didn't know squat about life. And then I went in there and had a reality check and, kind of got straightened out and kind of got on my way from there. And, after 2 years, my coach made sure I was ready for the pro game and I sure was. And I stepped right in and, had a successful year last year with that, tremendous group in Chicago and then just keep developing from there. So.
Can you maybe touch on your hockey journey and just like, did you have opportunities to play junior and things like that? Or was college maybe the best path that you saw for yourself at that point?
Yeah. College was the route that just panned out for me. I was never good enough for the Western League. I truly sucked until I think it was like 18 years old. Like I was I wasn't good. And I was always overweight too growing up. Like I was a big kid, loved to eat. So still do, but a little healthier than I used to. My first year of junior. So when I was coming out of AAA, that's 16 to 18 for people who don't know AAA. But when I was, it was my 18-year-old year, I was coming out of junior and I had just somehow got picked up by the Vernon Oil Capitals, which is about an hour down the highway west of Brandon. They took a chance on me. They put me on their list and protected me. And then they signed me that year. Went in there, played with a great D partner, developed that year, played next year, played a ton of minutes and, developed a lot there and then, managed to trick someone into giving me again, a college scholarship somehow and made my way down south to Bemidji and then, jumped right in, made sure I took care of business and tried to develop. I was honestly going into school, assuming I was going to be the seventh or eighth D-man and, they only play with six, right? So, I was going in there expecting to, dial it into school and get my 4-year degree and then kind of get out. And obviously things took a turn in a different path as life usually does for a lot of us. And it was an exciting time. My first year, I was kind of, feeling it out. And I was never really a big power play guy. I hopped on the power play. I was penalty killing. I played with a great D partner in Justin Beaudry and, give him a shout out too, because he's one of my good friends from Manitoba and, he's playing pro in the Buffalo Sabres organization right now. And, he helped me a lot, we're good D partners and he helped me develop there and then spent 2 years there. And then obviously, went to Chicago and, now I'm here.
So yeah, when you were leaving Bemidji State, because you're kind of on an accelerated timeline, what was the process like for you on deciding where you wanted to go? I guess, how many suitors did you have? What was that kind of whole process like?
The process was shell-shocking, I guess, to say the least. I guess is kind of the best. Because, you have a lot of, teams, coming to you saying that they want you, and you're a kid that grew up expecting to, you just dreamt of it. You never thought you'd make it, right? And nor had I should say that, nor had I made it. It was just a time where I got to pick my destination where I thought I would give myself the best chance to make it to the National Hockey League and help a team contribute, obviously to a Stanley Cup. Right. And I think that was the biggest process going throughout is who can I help the most and where will my game fit in the most and what organization, can I fit into that, I can help. And I, was involved in the community, things that I like, and Vegas was the biggest spot for me is, because the team obviously was heavily involved in the community. They were doing good things, great things the first year, obviously. And, I talked with George and Kelly I thought that was the best fit for me. And, I thought it was a spot where I could take my game, develop and be good as a person, be good as a player. And just, eventually at some point I knew that I had to work my way up and I wasn't like trying to fast track my development at any point. I knew I had to go through steps and you can't get to step four without going through 1, 2, 3. Right. And, you just kind of keep taking those things and you go and you develop under, Rocky Thompson and his staff and just kind of keep taking it again day by day and keep developing your game to hopefully contribute as I once, was deciding to do, right. To help this team moving down the line, help them game in and game out. So.
Did you know Kelly McCrimmon at all from, like growing up and things like that? My understanding, everybody that plays hockey in Manitoba knows Kelly McCrimmon. So,
well, hockey is a small world.
Yeah,
I mean, right? A lot of people know everyone, Kelly and I are from the same town, right? So, we built at Weekings growing up and things like that. And my mom knows him and my dad knows him, and we took in players and help them kind of provide them a home for the Western Hockey League and kind of just a home away from home. And obviously, like, older brothers for me growing up, you know, we billeted it starting from when I was, I think, like 5 or 6 years old all the way throughout. So we had various guys come through. We even had a couple Aboriginal kids come through and you know, help them obviously try to pursue their dreams in hockey. And no, I mean, hockey's a small world, and as big as it looks, it's very small. So, I mean, everyone kind of knows everyone. So
we talk about, you know, coming to this organization and being a part of this and working your way up to the NHL. How have you found yourself fitting in a locker room? It's a very weird place because you get to the league and there's guys that are different stages of their lives. You know, guys with families that have been here forever. There's younger guys. Like, how have you kind of fit in? And is it a weird experience to try to fit in a locker room?
No, I don't think it's weird. I think it's fun, right? And you come into a group that's, you know, super tight, and you know, they're obviously through the season, you know, into the season quite a ways, right? And no, you come in, you be respectful, you come in, do your work, you know, you keep your head down and you be respectful. You come in and you do whatever you can to help the team, and whether that's, you know, doing whatever you can just honestly to help the team. And again, the main thing coming down to it is just be respectful and treat everyone how you want to be treated. And enjoy the process and, you know, come in and get to work.
All right. So we're going to get on to our last topic here. And I asked this because it's Monday night, which is one of my favorite nights of the week because it's Bachelor night and Pilot Pete is down to his final three tonight. How long have you watched the Bachelor, Zach?
Well, it all started in junior hockey. How much time do we have left?
go as long as you want.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So my billet parents, Jack and Karen Forrester, so we started like a Bachelor Monday night, and she's one of the reasons why I lost a ton of weight. Actually, she got on a health kick with me, and she's the one who my billet dad hates me for it, because he was always used to kind of like chicken wings, burgers, fries, and things like that. And then there started to be like salmon, asparagus, just gross things, right? And so I ended up bringing that trend into the house, and then for the next like 6 years, he was kind of screwed, to say the least, because they kept giving her the healthy kids. So like at the end of the day, he resents me. But she helped me with a lot. And on those Bachelor Mondays, we started with, I think, like 6 or 7 guys. And then it kind of grew. And once everyone heard that, you know, she was feeding the boys Monday nights, like snacks. I'm talking apple crisp. I'm talking Score Bar. I'm nachos, wings. You guys are laughing, but it's crazy. She would have a spread down on the table, and it was wild. Like, you'd go in there, you and I ate supper before that. So like this woman is incredible. She helped me, you know, junior hockey's like a big mental battle, right? Because you're playing, you don't know what your future holds. And there are some tough days, you know, where she was a person that I could sit down and talk to and kind of vent my stuff away from the rink. And she was my rock throughout junior. And maybe I think she knows that, but she won't ever know how much she had an impact on my life, and she forever will. And there was another family there too, the Scarf family, who they gave me a job in junior working on a cattle ranch, and greatest job I ever had. And
wait, better than this job?
Well, it's a tie, but right? No, they showed me a true passion for where, you know, how people survive, right? And that's the meat industry and things like that. And they're my family away from family. And in Verdun, I had two homes to be able to call home, and you know, I'll love them forever and do anything for them. But those Bachelor Mondays, if I could go back, oh man, she would feed us. And so I went from 6 or 7 guys to about 15 or 16 boys. So that's, I think the guys mainly came for the food. Some guys would sit on their phones the whole time just to eat. So, no, that's kind of where Bachelor Monday started for me. And I've been watching ever since. I haven't been able to catch up recently though, which I'm kind of upset about. But maybe I'll watch tonight and kind of tune back in. Wait, so
would you do the show?
No, I have a girlfriend.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, okay. Pretend.
I mean,
At some point when you were single, is that something that you would do? Would you go on a reality show?
Like Keeping Up with the Kardashians reality show, or like
any kind of show? Like, would you want your life out there like that on TV?
No, I don't have much of a life. No, I'm a big Netflix guy. I go home, I try to nap, I try to rest. And I'm a big Amazon Prime TV guy right now. So I'm kind of on that kick. Yeah. Would you ever go on a reality TV show?
Nobody would ever want that. I mean, I don't. I mean, I guess. I mean,
it's not about what other people want. It's about what you want.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's just no problem. Do it? Yeah. Well, yes. I'll. Yes. Absolutely.
So Adam's big on Love Is Blind on Netflix.
Love Is Blind on Netflix is the show.
That's Adam's show.
Love Is Blind.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm personally the Bachelor guy, so I'm very excited for Monday. Zach, I was very excited to have you on the podcast today. Thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who listened. As a reminder, we drop a Golden Edge podcast every week. Remember to.
Oh, he said everyone that listened, I thought it was live.
Incredible production moment, you guys. Remember to subscribe everything you do to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. This is the best podcast we might have ever done. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.